It's a real honour today to be able to have a conversation with Corrie Van den Bosch. I've met Corrie many, many years ago when I came back from Perth, and I was starting my inner journey, and Corrie was an ERC, emotional release counsellor, back in those days, which has now come to ATEP. And Corrie was trained under Pat Quinn in Toowoomba, up in Queensland, and they're both missionary sisters, and Corrie has journeyed with me and been a teacher for many, many years, and it's a real honour and privilege to be able to sit here today and have the Heart of Connection podcast conversation with her. So welcome, Corrie.
Thank you, Mark. And a lovely title for your series, Heart of Connection.
Yeah, the heart of connection to me is really important in terms of our connection to ourself, others and all that is. I'm not sure where it just came to me, the idea. And, yeah, my experience of the inner work, for me, the inner work has been about healing a lot of the wounds, the childhood wounds, all the wounds that we accrue, and I guess metaphorically they sit in the heart and prevent people from going there and connecting there. And having done the inner work, it's such a gift to be able to connect, heal those wounds, to be able to open my heart and connect much deeper to my heart. Oh, thank you.
Yes, and if you're not connected to your own heart in a really intimate way, you don't connect to others in an intimate way either, because we become defended. I don't want you to touch my broken heart or the wounds in my heart, so I just keep you at that bit of a distance, no matter how nice I am to you. But once we really get to know our own hearts and realize that, all right, they might have carried wounds, but they're still our hearts, and that's where the core of my life is, my core of my vitality, and the capacity to really relate to life.
Corrie, can you let listeners know, would you mind, that's a rude question to ask, but the vitality and the energy that is still with you at this stage in life, how do you do it? How do you get that vitality and that energy, that flow? Is that from connection to yourself, connection to the universe? How do you do it?
I think in some ways I'm more in the flow now than I've ever been. That seems strange at this stage of my life. But I think for me it's like living my life against the big horizon. And the big horizon for me is first of all God. And God, who is present in the whole of the universe, in every being, you know, whether it's the plants in the garden, or whether it's the people I know, or whether it's the morning light when I sit here every day and do my morning meditation, and the dawn comes, and the dawn is on the kitchen side. But on the opposite side, which I face, there's a house and it's got windows, so I can always look up and see, there's the dawn reflected in those windows. So for me, vitality comes when we are really present in the moment, present to whatever is there, or whoever is there, and that's why I like this heart connection, with our heart open, so that when that presence is of someone who is in pain, your heart is open to connect with that. And basically, it's love, really. It's love. And I'm more than ever in love with life, with God, with the universe, because I think I've never stopped learning the depth of that mystery. And I'm still learning. I'm still quite an ignoramus in many ways. But somehow it's not head learning, it's like a deeper intuitive heart connection, if you like, but heart connection with everything.
What's your process to connect to yourself? How do you do that? What is your process? How do you connect to yourself? Is that through meditation, through reading, through prayer?
It's all that. But it's really being in the moment, no matter what I'm doing. Like, I've been working on a little booklet to go with ritual, just a few, you know, two or three pages, sheets of paper. To get the pages in the right order when you're printed. I printed off a draft this morning and the pages are back to front. Okay, cut them up, do them again. And then go back and see if you can do it. But, you know, I could get really annoyed about, oh, I've messed it up again, I thought I had it right. Or to really kind of be there and allow myself to be in the process. And in a way, it's like a metaphor for my life. Because I get lots of things wrong. And then I notice something isn't quite in the flow, you know, whether it's in my emotions or whatever. Oh, what's happening? What's it saying to me? Oh. Like, you know, the other day I was on the phone. I often walk up and down and the sun was shining. So I was walking up and down outside along the side of the house. So I came to the front. I saw these two women come in. And I said to the person on the phone, look, I'll get back in touch with you. I've got someone here right now. So I went to speak to them. And they came to tell me about Goddess Mother. And they had their Bible and they wanted to read about the Bible. And I thought, oh, God, I can't be bothered. So I was courteous to them, but I kind of, you know, let them go pretty smartly. They'd gone. And I was thinking about it. I thought, you know, one of the things that I've tried to nurture in myself is a hospitality of mind and heart. I said, where was that when these two women came? And so it's like I know all that and I don't want to know any more from your perspective. If it's like I'm way beyond you, you know? I thought, well, they might have had something really valuable to teach me. Well, whether they had my word, but the very fact that they came and I registered how I was, I spent the next few days just pondering that, not in a way of feeling guilty or bad, but saying, okay, what do I have to learn from that experience? So since then, I've been thanking God for the gift of those two women because I realize that caught on the hop, I'm not as hospitable of mind and heart as what I like to think I am. So it's like the everyday moments in life are all teachers.
And I remember in the years of working with you, as you followed me on my inner journey, you would always say, Mark, come home to yourself. And that was such a wonderful invitation to connect to self, is Mark, come home to yourself. And I still remember that to this day.
Yes, and you know, we often resist coming home to ourselves because we judge ourselves so badly. Now, a few years ago, I would have really given myself a hard time over this. These two women. But I don't. I just say, well, thank you, I needed that lesson. Right? And I think that's what it is. If you're at home with yourself, you don't have to be other than you are at any one moment.
When you come home to yourself and you're connecting to yourself, do you experience a deeper connection to God or to a realm of spirit, essence, something deeper than you?
Yes. I'm just trying to think of how I answer that. It's like God, we sort of content to put God out there, but God is within me. God is within you. And it's like being in touch with that deeper mystery of who you are. I remember a few years ago, I was sitting at my morning meditation, and what came to me was, what if I was not a missionary sister of service? If I was not a counsellor? If I were not a Van den Bosch? If I were not, and I kept peeling away all the things by which I identify myself, until there was nothing left. And that was an extraordinary experience, because that place where there was nothing left is a profound place of presence, of mystery, of being embedded in something vastly more than the I that I think I am, right? And being totally accepted, loved, and at home there. And for me to come home to myself is to touch back into that place. In fact, I think today I probably live more out of that place than I ever have. And another thing that is still very upfront for me in my consciousness is that when I was counseling, I used to find that if I had the opportunity of working with people over a period of time, they would connect, and I would connect within them, with the deepest core of themselves, that no matter what their life story had been, and some of them had been pretty horrible, and some of them had done pretty awful things as well, but there is an innocence, a purity, that is untouched by all that. And to me, that's the God spark. And I know many a time when I saw a person out of the door after their session, I would just walk back upstairs and shake my head and say, "Oh God, you are just bloody marvelous." And I don't use that word lightly. I just couldn't think of a word strong enough of the sheer wonder of the presence of the divine in the heart at the core of each person. And you know, in our Bible, in the first opening of the Bible, it has this beautiful chapter of Genesis where it says, in the beginning the world was just an empty void. It was dark. And the Spirit of God hovered over the dark, over the deep, and said, "Let there be light. Let there be light." And in a sense, that light is in you, it's in me, it's in that pot plant. It's in everything, right? If only we have eyes to see it, if only we open our hearts to connect with it. And you know, for a lot of people, religion is old hat. Well, I suspect if they really knew what it was about, they would be as excited about it as I am.
Yeah, that's something that all spiritual teachings, doesn't matter, you know, which religion, all spiritual teachings come back to the heart. Every single one. And I'm wondering now, in the present day, whether a lot of young people are, instead of calling it religion, they're just calling it spirit. You know, there's that cliche that we're spirit beings having a human experience.
Sometimes I think I am God having the experience of what it is to be Corrie, and you are Mark. You are God having the experience of being Mark. And in a sense, I think that is not just a fanciful thing. It's the absolute truth. Because where did we come from? If there was nothing, and God created, then we came from God. We are, in a sense, God's self-expression. We get a bit lost in it, because sometimes we want to be God and organize ourselves. But when we come back to the heart, we realize we are, at heart we are a mystery that is vastly bigger and more precious and more sacred than what we like to think ourselves to be.
What do you experience when you disconnect from your heart?
Oh, God. you know, it's not that I disconnect from my heart. It's like I get lost. I lose the connection with my center. And it's really a distraction.
How do you notice the distraction? What informs you within your body, within your being, that you are lost into that connection to your heart?
I don't think it happens very often these days, but I think, try to think back. Usually when I'm anxious about something, that's be the first indication. Or when I get myself, oh, there's 1,000 things I want to do and I've only got an hour. You know, when I put the pressure on myself. And I think, well, is the sun still going to rise in the morning if I don't get all this done? And it does. It's like we can so easily think, presume, we don't even consciously think it, that the world depends on whether we achieve or whether we don't achieve. And in fact, it doesn't. The world depends on whether we love or don't love. And if we don't love, we just contribute to the destructiveness, whether it's the destructiveness of the earth, the destructiveness that we visit on each other.
Are people needing to connect to the love within their own hearts a lot more for us to keep evolving as a species?
The love in your heart and the love in my heart is ultimately God loving you in you and loving me through you. And in the reverse, we can only love in the measure that we are loved. And we're infinitely loved. It's just that a lot of people have not realized it.
And that infinite love, that, I guess, is the all that is, whatever that means. That's the infinite love. And it could be God's love, it could be universal love, whatever. It doesn't matter what language or labels people put to it, it's the experience, the depth of the experience in that space, and that divine love is very powerful.
But it comes through the experience of human love that wakes it up. Mm-hmm. And I just read something lovely the other day. A woman was sharing. She was at a weekend retreat with a spiritual teacher. And she had, at home, she had a toddler and she had a baby that she was still breastfeeding. So she was expressing milk to send home for the baby. And this person spoke so beautifully about, you know, and they had time for meditation and she loved it. And eventually she got quite agitated and she says, but, she interrupted him in one of his talks. She says, but, you know, it's great to sit here and meditate, but when I'm home, how do I find the time when I've got a toddler and I've got a baby? And she says, I get up early in the morning thinking I'll have a little bit of time to meditate. She says, I'm hardly sitting down, and then patter, 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 down comes the kids or the toddler. And this man, he said to her, you know, God says to you, I love you so much that I just can't wait So I wake up this little body, and he comes running to you. I want to feel your cuddle, right? It's like when she cuddles this little one, it's like she's cuddling God. Now, I think that spiritual teacher was onto something profound. You know, we think our kids distract us from God. No, they don't. They are the means. And not just our kids, whether it's our partner in life, whether it's the people we work with, whether it's the people we surf with or whatever. You know, whether it's the earth itself. It's like, you know, one day when I still had the counselling practice, it was probably in the middle of the training, I was driving from where I lived in Barodia to Vermont. And I'm on the corner of the mountain highway and Baronia Road, and I had to turn right, waiting for the lights to change. There's a car in front of me, and his blinkers were blinking, indicating he's going left. And just for a moment, God winked at me in that blinker, right? Now, you might say Corrie's got a great imagination, and I probably have got a reasonable imagination, but there was more to it. It was a moment of consciousness that God was recognizing me, aware of me, sitting there waiting for the lights to change. And this blinking light of the indicator going left, going right, was like a wink from God. So, you know, it can happen so simply if we're awake to notice the little signs.
With the inner, how do you believe inner work has opened you up more to experience the depth of God's love?
You know, there is inner work that is consciously designed to do that. But there's also inner work that doesn't actually have quite the same name. When I was in my mid-teens, I went through a crisis of faith. I was at a mass, Catholic mass. It was at home, which was not very often. And in those days, the mass was in Latin. So the priest is prattling away in Latin, making these little gestures and doing this and that. And from nowhere in my mind came witchcraft. This is all witchcraft. Well, with that, my whole spiritual world shattered. It was like a bomb dropped on it. And I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to do. It sent me into a real spiritual crisis. And it was like everything lost meaning. If what I had learned from a child, that what we celebrated in the Eucharist is not true, then God wasn't true. And if God didn't exist, then what is there in life? And I remember at the time, and I still smile when I remember it, I used to pray to God that God existed, because if he didn't, what was the left of it? And very gradually, almost like the gradual lighting of dawn, the sense of faith in God came back to me. It might have taken a year or two, I don't know how long. It seemed like interminable at the time, but then I was in so much agony over it. It might have only been a few weeks, I don't know. I think it was longer. But when that sense of God came back, I think that's when I first fell in love with God. Before then, I thought I loved God and I knew God loved me, but it was what I had, like the clothes you wear, you know, from culturally and the family and so on. Whereas when this sense of God came back, it was immediate, it was personal. It sort of grabbed hold of all of me and all the cells of my body and whatever. And I think from then on, I started on this big search for God, which was a search for life, the search for connection. And you know, I was a migrant child. My English wasn't bright. I didn't quite feel I belonged, because I was culturally quite. And But over the years, as you know, I joined the Missionary Sisters of Service, which I think has been the best thing I could have ever been called to do, because there was the whole spiritual nourishment.
Did you make that decision after when you lost, well, you thought you lost God, but when you found God again, did you make the decision then at that age to commit to the Missionary Sisters of Service?
I knew there definitely that that was a call. But already as a little tot, when I was started school in Holland, and we were at a Catholic school and the nuns, and I just really fell for the nuns, and I came home and I said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a sister. I had a few other ideas between then and when I actually, but when I came back to this sense of, this personal sense of God, sorry about that door, it was like there was only one response, and that is to be totally, totally there. And that's how I came to be. I felt that call. And even though I loved children and I really wanted a family of my own, and I just couldn't get any peace until I said yes to this deeper call.
Was that a knowing?
It is a knowing. I call it a yes I found deep within me. And that yes, and I often ponder that even now, it's like everything in me might protest, but at some deep level, if what I'm wanting is not true to what I'm called to be in this relationship with God and with the universe, then I will not have peace, because this yes, which I think is God's yes in me, always wins.
How strong was that connection?
It's who I am. It's so strong that I can't be me and shut that off. And of course, as a missionary sister of service, in our years of formation, I learned how to meditate. We were nurtured with good reading and study. And I think that's really important, to continually nurture, not only with meditation, but to read the kind of things that nurtures your appreciation of what it all means. So, choose well what you read and read well what you choose. Choose only the sort of reading that's really going to nurture that.
And does that help you in your connections?
It does. It does. And at this stage in my life, I find that I read authors and I think, yeah, that's right, I know that. But I haven't heard anyone say it quite like that before. And so life itself, lived at a deeper level, awakens insights and a wisdom that you find, oh yeah, and I'm not the only one that knows that.
It's a pretty powerful flow state, isn't it, that space, when you just, everything just seems to just flow, just, there's an easiness about it. A peacefulness, a gentleness, and just flows. It's
see, God is a flow. And it's really interesting that over the last 20, 30 years, there have been some profound books come out on God as the Trinity. Now that is, in some ways, a specifically Christian way of understanding God. But what people are saying is that we tend to think of God as an entity somewhere. But in fact, when you reflect on God as Trinity, God is relationship. God is love, and love only exists in relationship. So there's the relationship within God. And then that relationship that within God, with which God wanted to reach out beyond, so God shares that relationship. And therefore creates a universe.
And when I'm in nature, I feel love's nature and vice versa. It's a powerful connection it's beyond the sort of the cognitive mind stuff. But yeah, there is that, and just that harmony, that love, just being in nature, just being in the bush. It's just being one with it.
Yeah, God, the nature is a great healer. And I think God's power of healing comes to us through nature. Now, whether it's in the bush, whether it's on the ocean, whether it's in your garden, whether it's walking down the street and just noticing the autumn leaves or the new buds, or listening to the birds. You know, if you just let yourself be in that moment to take in what's around you, there's something that brings you home to yourself.
And do you then become part of that? Listening to the birds.
We are part of it.
We are part of it. Corey, in each episode I've been asking the guest, what advice would you have for the younger people that are following in your footsteps? What advice would you give them?
Live each moment with love. Love for yourself. Love for whoever is around you. And don't ever hold anything against anyone. Because if you do, you're actually holding it against yourself and you'll be miserable. But meet people with love. Learn to have compassion. Learn to forgive. And you'll be a happy person. Doesn't mean you won't suffer pain. That's part of life. But you can grow. And you find that your love never runs out. It grows with the more you share it.
And thank you for the opportunity to have that growth. You stood by me for many, many years. And it's a deep honour and privilege, and I can feel the emotions coming, to thank you for paving the way to have that gift of love to self, others and all that is. And I feel really blessed.
And just remember, Mark, that I learned and grew through you too, and all these others who are a bit... It happens together.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing about the heart of connection.
Yeah.
It does happen all together. Thank you very much.
And even just a discussion like this, there's a lot of joy in it. So thank you.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.